96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You've heard the old saying, it's not personal, it's just business. But according to a new report by the Urban Institute, businesses in Washington, D.C. appear not to like inner city communities. You may ask, what's new about that? We are also asking that, and we are discussing the issues behind this report. My guests are Christina Stacy, Research Associate, and Peter Tatian, Senior Fellow, both from the Urban Institute. That's where this report is coming from. Lines are open. We're talking about this. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. Christina, Peter, thank you both for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about the Urban Institute for those that aren't familiar with it. What is the Urban Institute?
Well, the Urban Institute is a nonprofit public policy research organization. We try to bring evidence to bear on social policy issues facing the country. So the data that we've presented about D.C. businesses and other data are meant to help inform people in the city about what's going on and what changes are taking place in the community.
Interesting. Evidence, indeed. Lots of evidence, lots of information about how businesses are distributed around the D.C. metro area, not just today, but the way it's been going on for many, many years. Can you give me a brief overview of what this report says?
Sure. Well, so, you know, people have been talking for a long time about inequality, mostly in terms of income. And other types of the geographic distribution of low-income residents, things like that. But what you don't often see is information, detailed information on where businesses are located. It's often hard to find data on that. So we just wanted to look at and show how businesses are distributed throughout the district. One, of course, like you said, this isn't anything new. People know that there are fewer restaurants and grocery stores east of the river in certain neighborhoods. But we really wanted to be able to systematically document this so that you can track it over time and see how things are changing.
So what did you find?
So we found that consistently Ward 7 and 8 east of the river trail far behind the other wards in terms of number of total establishments, business establishments, and specifically in the post that we put up, we looked at commercial, retail, food types of services or types of businesses so that we could look both at access to jobs but also access to services for residents in those areas. And we found that 7 and 8 lag far behind often. Of course, Ward 2 is an outlier because it's the downtown area, so it always has the greatest number of establishments by far. And then Ward 6 is usually not too far behind, too. But 7 and 8 are often far behind.
Why is that?
That is a complicated question, right? I mean, of course, it has to do with the incomes of the residents in the different neighborhoods. You know, and it's anything having to do with urban issues is a complicated cycle of lots of factors. But what we do know is that we think that a good way to kind of maybe impact this and maybe start changing things is by linking up residents in these underserved areas with jobs and opportunities, whether they be through encouraging businesses, business retainment, or new businesses in these underserved areas, or by linking up residents in the underserved areas with jobs in other areas.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. We're talking about the unequal distribution of businesses here in the District of Columbia. As I said in the beginning, this is not a new issue as a Washington area native. This has been going on since I was a kid. Excuse me. This has been going on since I was a kid. Certainly, We could say that there have been significant changes since the riots in 1968 with the huge exodus that we saw after 68 of not only white people in the District of Columbia, but black people in the District of Columbia to the suburbs. However, since then, we have seen a huge influx of people coming in. You could talk about gentrification and the like. But the reality is that, as Christina said, Peter, there are some parts that have not recovered. And she spoke about income, but there are people east of the river that have money.
There are. And, you know, that's why I think it's important that we continue to try to invest in communities east of the river as well as other neighborhoods in D.C. where that development, as you said, has lagged behind. You know, as you pointed out, we've seen enormous amount of changes. I've been in D.C. 28 years, and so I remember well what things were like back in the 80s, and we've seen enormous transition in a number of neighborhoods, including the neighborhood just outside the studio. But that's happening in a few places in a very concentrated way, and then we have other neighborhoods where it's been a lot slower to take hold. So what we really need to do is try to encourage more of the wealth and prosperity to spread through other neighborhoods in the city.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. We're talking about the unequal distribution of businesses here in D.C. This is as a result of this is coming out of a report by the Urban Institute. And by the way, if you want to look at this research, you can find it online at urban.org. That's urban.org. Carol, calling from Southeast D.C. What's on your mind, Carol?
Yes, thank you for answering my call. I've been in D.C. all my life. So mm-hmm. I'm a D.C.er, and I look at it, it's all to do with finance. You know, just like the caller said earlier, I'm just piggybacking. You know, I noticed in Ward 7, you may have a store here. In order for you to get the best bargains, you have to go further out. It's nothing there in your neighborhood that can, you know, you can get certain things and good good bargains. You know, even the fruit is not no good, the clothes not no good. You have to go further out, like in Maryland, Virginia, just to get a bargain. It shouldn't be. Like you said, bring the wealth into the city so everybody can share.
Okay, Carol, thank you so much. Daryl, calling from Southeast. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I was listening to your show, and it just kind of struck me that there are a number of individuals who happen to live in both Ward 7 and Ward 8. I happen to live in Ward 8. Who I would say have a certain amount of disposable income but have to travel out of the ward because there aren't any establishments that we can come to and feel comfortable with the product. And I'm just wondering if it's not important at this point to be able to try to get businesses to come into our areas and recognize that there are persons who can not only afford but also deserve to have the type of products that we need and we don't have to go outside of our wards for. Mm-hmm. And so that's just my thoughts.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate that, Daryl. In doing this research, can you talk to me about gathering the information and how you came about putting this information together?
Sure. Actually, this all kind of started when we started talking with businesses and with developers and with small business owners throughout the district about recommendations that we might be able to give the mayor on how to create a more vibrant D.C. And something that just kept coming up over time was this issue of geographic inequity in terms of businesses. yeah, and so referring to the last caller's comment, something that did come up is, of course, yeah, there are ways to incentivize businesses to locate in certain areas, and the city has tried some, like the grocery store tax credit. There's other things like the Great Streets Initiative, and there's loan programs through the Small Business Administration. And one of the recommendations that came up was for the city to help businesses and help entrepreneurs take advantage of these different programs.
Going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about inequities in business distribution here in the District of Columbia. This isn't just a D.C. issue. This is actually happening all around the country. You want to talk about it, have a question or a comment, give us a call. 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. We'll be back in just a bit. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're discussing a new report by the Urban Institute detailing the unequal distribution of businesses in Washington, D.C. My guests are Christina Stacy and Peter Tatian, both from the Urban Institute. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. One of the kinds of businesses that thrive in underserved communities are liquor stores. That's always been, some would argue, the bane of the business existence in Ward 7 and 8 east of the river, and in other parts of the communities that where you have pockets of underserved communities. What did your research say, if anything, about that?
That's actually a really interesting and good question. And that's something we sought to answer when we first started looking at this was, really, we wanted to look at, as neighborhoods grow and in some cases gentrify, you know, what kinds of businesses thrive, what kind of businesses are pushed out, that kind of thing. And the data that we're using is from the National Establishment Time Series, which is a great data set of businesses, but it uses a coding system called the NICS coding system from the census, which really wasn't designed for local policy. So it's really hard to break the data down into specific types of businesses. We looked at liquor stores, and it was clear that the data wasn't quite accurate in terms of the number that were showing up in the certain neighborhoods that we knew that there had been some that had existed that weren't showing up. So the way that the coding works, the businesses are grouped into larger group chunks. So things like fast food restaurants are chunked in with expensive cafes and Starbucks and things like that. So it's really hard to kind of get a nuanced vision of what's happening in neighborhoods. So one thing that we definitely think is necessary is for some improvements in the way that data is collected on businesses so that city governments and other policymakers and planners can actually be able to track this over time.
But this isn't always just about what the businesses do as it relates to providing consumer goods, but we're also talking about employment, are we not? We're talking about access to jobs. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. Local businesses are important providers of jobs, and to the extent that you have local businesses that are able and willing to hire local residents, that's going to be obviously a very important benefit for the community. But, you know, there's lots of barriers to employment for many people in the district. So, for example, we have about 50,000 adults in D.C. who don't have a high school diploma or GED. Equivalent, and another 150,000 who don't have a four-year college degree. So these days, many types of jobs, particularly in a place like D.C., require some kind of advanced education beyond high school.
I want to talk about that because I want to take issue with that.
Okay.
But we'll take issue with that on the other side of the break. If you're on the phone, Leon, Mark, Mbali, Clark, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810 or 855-288-4876. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.